I'm Kate Botello.
I'm David Castleman, and this is The Green Room, a weekly conversation about arts and culture from Interlochen Public Radio.
Okay, David, listen to this. This is Concerning Hobbits from Howard Shore's score to The Fellowship of the Ring. Hobbits, of course, they're little fictional creatures with wonderful houses. And I don't know about you, but I've always wanted one. One of the ones with the big round green door.
Mushroom houses, hobbit houses, gnome houses, whatever you call them, it's not that crazy of a dream to live in one because real people live in them in Charlevoix. And tourists come from all over the world just to see them. Some hope a new documentary about the little houses will help to preserve them. Daniel Wanchura has this story.
Once upon a time, or actually in 1961, Louise Desch and her husband Abe bought a home in the fairy tale neighborhood of Boulder Park.
I call it Hansel and Gretel House, and I'm the witch.
Louise raised her kids in this area, lined with stone houses surrounded by trees. She says it reminds her of homes in the Black Forest and Switzerland. And on a darker note, of the World War II bunker she once had to sleep in. So she didn't love the house at first, because it almost has a cave-like ambience.
And we used to come up here, it was pitch black in here. No heat, kids want to go skiing.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I used to freeze my fanny off.
But she now says the snug existence has grown on her.
It's cozy. We got two fireplaces, gas heat, and, you know.
These houses were built by a man named Earl Young. He moved to Charlevoix in 1900 and was entranced by the natural beauty of the area. It shaped his architectural style. Today, 200 to 300 visitors will drive by the houses on a typical summer day. Local historian Dave Miles explains Earl Young's style.
A house has to be a work of art. And to be a work of art, it has to conform to its surroundings. You cannot impose upon nature. You have to integrate nature into the house itself. That was what he believed.
Miles says Young was especially crazy about all the large boulders that he found in the woods and on the shores of Lake Michigan. Once he had an idea, he would start designing. Architects normally work from blueprints, but Young kept all the minute details in his head.
He would discover a boulder, and he would keep the characteristics of that stone in his mind for decades. And if he found another stone, say 30 years later, that he thought would look nice next to it, he would know where he had put that other stone, go get it, and bring the two together.
Every house Earl Young built was contoured to the natural environment, from window placement to roofline.
So stop right here. See the integration of the house to the land?
Yeah, wow.
The tree roots, the stonework is the retaining wall.
It's right into the hill.
That's what he loved, being inspired by Mother Nature.
Young never was a licensed architect. He dropped out of architectural school after 1 year, rebelling against the classical Greco-Roman style he was being taught. His kitchens and bathrooms tend to be small, almost an afterthought.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
You know.
Back in Louise Desch's home, she explains she didn't mind the small cooking area.
I can manage, you know. Because when I moved in here, I didn't even have to walk in the kitchen, just reach and here kids here, you know.
But some homeowners would argue the small rooms just aren't very practical. And so a few of the Earl Young homes have been drastically remodeled. Three have even been torn down.
Right now, they're not protected in any way.
Brian Bellinger is the director of the new film, The Wizard of Boulder Park.
Because of their uniqueness, we have to find a way to protect them and make sure that they're looking the way they do now for generations to come.
Bellinger wants historic protections for the Earl Young homes, and he thinks thousands of visitors who come to the area every year would agree. But ultimately, it's up to about 30 homeowners to determine if that's necessary for their happily ever after. For Interlochen Public Radio, I'm Daniel Wanchura.
The Wizard of Boulder Park premieres on Monday evening at the Charlevoix Cinema.
And by the way, The Hobbit is on stage this weekend. The Old Town Playhouse Young Company is putting it on in Traverse City.
You're listening to The Green Room from Interlochen Public Radio.
Oh, qui
Before you could go see the Met Opera at the movie theater, the only way to get live opera in northern Michigan for decades was to sit at home and listen to IPR.
And today, opera listeners everywhere are mourning the loss of an iconic host. Margaret Jont White was a joyful and friendly voice guiding us through the opera broadcast for 10 years, and she passed away this week at age 58.
We're hearing one of her favorite performances right now, soprano Pretty Yende making her Met debut. Margaret was the kind of host with great empathy for the performers. Here she is talking about rooting for Pretty Yende on her first night out.
She came on to do her scene. She sang her aria. She knocked it out of the park. And then, as she stood there and the audience went wild, she lifted her head. And I thought, oh my God, that's not milking. That's just being a star.
See, making opera approachable was very important to Margaret. I mean, she was just as much an advocate for the audience as she was for the performers.
People always say, oh, I don't know anything. I'm not educated about it. You know what? All you need is the curiosity and the open mind. And we're going to fill the rest of it in for you.
Margaret lived with ovarian cancer for more than 10 years. And in all that time, only missed one Saturday broadcast because of her illness. Her passing leaves an empty seat in the house. This is The Green Room from Interlochen Public Radio.
This week's show was produced by Brock Moorman. We had help from Linda Steffen and Morgan Springer. Sally Isley is our executive producer. Thank you to the Met for the interviews with Margaret Jont White. I'm Kate Botello.
And I'm David Castleman. See you next week.